It strikes me as Doug was reading that things must have been pretty bad if God himself had to come to make to make something happen. Things seems there must have been a problem bigger than something he could just put in the sky, maybe a little skywriting. Or nowadays I would have thought it as like he could have just downloaded an update for each one of us to kind of get back on track. But something was so wrong with humanity and yet all created order that he had to come. There was a rift that was experienced between men and women and God, but also between each other and between creation and sometimes even between ourselves. And so a reconciler had to come and create this, put this all back together. And that's what we see in Christmas. And why so much effort? Are we really that big of a deal? Does he really need to come? And I want you to think back of on this year of 2020, which we all know is magically going to come to an end in a few days, and then it's all going to be better, right? We know that. It's just this interesting malaise that we're in. It's been very difficult. The rifts have been more and more and more noticeable. Even just trying to buy toilet paper apparently has been a problem, right? Like, what is with all the hoarding? I love this meme that I saw a few days ago. Back in my day, there was so much toilet paper, people used to literally string it up in the trees of their enemies. That was the way you showed your contempt, by giving them toilet paper. And now it's, you know, just the joke of the hoarding. People are on edge. It's pretty amazing. We're able to divide over almost anything. Have you noticed that? Doesn't take much. Separation comes apparently very, very natural to us as humans. And I want you to think then, but as now, that there is a sense of a creeping darkness, a spreading bitterness that's just out there, ready for everyone, to the point where outrage is normal. Why aren't you outraged? Like, I'm sorry, I didn't care. Well, you should care, and you should be outraged, and you know who the problem is. It's that person over there. You just need to, because outrage sells. How else do you get ratings, you know, if it's something outrageous isn't happening? I mean, why would people watch unless the world's coming to an end? Unless your neighbors literally are going to ruin America if you don't stop them. The separation between family members, friends, neighbors is accelerating. Have you noticed that? It's just like the speed of acceleration, where division is just happening. So easy. It's even expected. If they don't think like you, you need to disown them. You need to get rid of them. You need to have people that think like you and be in places where people like you think like you, so that you don't have to hear all that insane chatter. You could create your own echo chamber. It'd be lovely. And then you'd never have anybody disagreeing with you. Wouldn't that be amazing? They are what's wrong in the world. Did you know that? They are. And some of you are like, well, they actually are. It's them. It's the other. It's those guys. And I think it's clear that hatred has always been easier than the alternative. When Jesus came into the world, it was dark. It was oppressed. It had all the features we would normally see today, except for Rome was the America. They were the ones on top, and Rome was oppressing all these other people, all these other people groups, and so hatred was normal. It would probably be very normal in the morning to wake up and curse Rome if you were a good Jew, as it would be to say a prayer, may the kingdom of God come in your lifetime. May the kingdom of God come. and ruin and get rid of the oppressors. So hatred's always been a thing. But Jesus came to his own. And it says that his own did not receive him. Some shepherds received him. The angels, well, they were on assignment, right? That's their job. There's some wise men came from the east, you know, maybe a year later, who knows, but just, you know, coming by. But other than that, his reception was pretty poor. This isn't necessarily about the whole "there's no room in the inn." If you read that passage in Luke chapter 2, it says that while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. So every Christmas I try to ruin something, and so this would be the one thing I would ruin. They didn't come in on donkey back, you know, "she's ready to give birth," and kind of knock around, "where can I give birth, where can I give birth?" Only the manger. It's more likely that while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have a baby. "Can I have a baby in your room?" "I'm sorry, we're sleeping." "Can I have a baby?" "You may have to take this out back." A place to give birth, a place to go into labor, because there wasn't room in the guest room, is really the way the story goes. But you can get back to your regular Christmas now. Sorry about that. So the shepherds came, and maybe some animals, probably not as many as we normally see, but why not? Animals are cute. Angels sang out and they shouted about the good news, the entry of light into darkness, peace into wartime. Good news, rescue from death and peace with God, to bring love into the hatred. But the whole story told, Jesus came to his own and his own did not receive him. John, when he reflects on this, he says, "the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him." And so in a time, just thinking of our year in the past, in a time of darkness and death, Jesus still intends to bring light and life to those who would receive him. To those who would, by a matter of their will, open their lives to say, "if you are king, then you obviously demand my loyalty. And so, what is that going to look like, Jesus? But let's progress. If you are king, then I believe you. And I will be loyal to you. The true light, which gives light to the world." That's available, right? He goes on to say, "he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Remember, the Son of God took on flesh so that we could take on the Spirit and be filled with new life so that we could be his children. "As the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." That's our Jesus. And he came because the rift was real between humans and God, between humans and each other, between humans and nature, between humans and themselves. Sometimes during COVID time, you've probably had to sit with yourself a bit and say, "yikes, maybe I am part of the problem. Maybe the stuff stirring in me is a problem." That's the rift. It's been cut down the middle of us. And Jesus means to heal that. Because he arrives because the problem is huge. He takes on the blame that was meant for us, the sin and shame that we carry and that we bear, that has been exposed, really, again, in our country this last year. Shine a light on the dark areas, and it's exposed. Division, desire to just be isolated from other people. And Jesus wants to come. He wants to heal, and he wants to bring reconciliation. To bring warring parties back together. You know, when Jesus grew up, he would have, like every other Jewish person, he would have memorized and said many times a day, "Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our God, Yahweh alone. And you shall love Yahweh, your God, with all your heart and soul and mind and strength." He would have, that would have been like number one, the biggest deal. And when he was asked about it, what the greatest commandment is, he said, well, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the other side of that is, love your neighbor as yourself. We talk about it here as the two sides of the same coin. You want to know if you're loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? It probably looks like loving your neighbor as yourself. That's how you do it. And so we watch Jesus and we watch his life and we pattern after him and we say, wow, that seems impossible. With all my strength, love Yahweh my God with all my strength, and that looks like loving your neighbor as yourself. Well, he taught it. He lived it. He was killed for it. He brought your sin and shame, my sin and shame, on himself. He took it to the cross. That I think it's no joke, and those songs that you sang for us were really helpful, because I don't think it's just cute to say that the cross is at the heart of Christmas. Because the entrance into our world to become the savior of our world required him taking sin upon himself to have it condemned in his flesh so that we could die with him and be raised to new life. It seems to be the very central focus, which means that Christmas has a lot of consequences when we think about it, that apparently our world is that messed up. Apparently humanity is that astray. Apparently the division in between each of us in every generation since needs to be confronted with the reconciler and brought back together. The true light, who gives it light to everyone, was coming into the world. And then Jesus said some really interesting things. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. Not the peacekeepers, but the peacemakers, the ones who would stick their heads in where maybe it seems like it doesn't belong, to bring warring parties together. Peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. He also goes on to say, blessed are you when they persecute you, because that's going to happen. Peacemakers, right? Any of you like try to be peacemakers just generally and you watch it backfire a lot? Because, yeah, blessed are the peacemakers. But the true light coming into the world is meant to light us up and shine out his light, right? He says, you, my followers, those who are now in my kingdom, those who are loyal to Jesus as king, who can call yourself a Christian or just a loyal person to Jesus, however you want to say it. He says, you are the light of the world, and a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You're now the new focus of light in the world. That's pretty amazing. You are the light of the world. He says, of course, you don't hide it under a basket. You let it shine out. But if we're going to shine out Jesus's light, who came with this obvious big plan to solve the hatred and sin and separation that we experience, then to follow in his path and to be loyal to him and to shine the light would be to do what he did. And so we are to become the reconcilers, yeah? We're to become the ones who reach out with the message of hope and light and life. So for tonight, I think there's you need to first just experience that and say, okay, there's a Savior born. The rift, the separation runs through me. I need to have him come and heal that so that we then can be the city on a hill that heals other people. The kingdom of God, usually represented in his church, is supposed to be the people who say, you want to see how unity is supposed to work? You want to see how love is supposed to roll out? You want to see how light and life is in action? Come and take a look at the church. So 2021, we get another shot at it. We could say generally, not for this church, I don't see it in this church necessarily, but for the church in America has got some work to do in 2021 to shine a light, to be a city on a hill that should not be hidden. Because what it's shining out is light and life and hope and peace and love for neighbor as yourself. That's a pretty awesome task. And if Jesus didn't say he was going to take up residence in us to make it happen, I would say, let's just quit now. But he means to put the light in us so that we shine the light out of us. And as we go tonight, we're going to take a candle, and we're going to head outdoors, and we're going to light up the courtyard. Just in your family groups, you can be distinct and you know, move apart. If someone blows out, just relight them. You know, we'll keep the light going. But I would like you to just think about this: the light of the church, the light of Christ, is meant to be out there. I know of some traditions. It's not in my tradition, but I believe it's Eastern Orthodox tradition. Some churches, they light the candle, and then, of course, they're all within walking distance, and they walk home. And the goal is to see if they can bring that light all the way into their house to light a candle, from the church into their home, which then goes into the neighborhoods around. You may have to be symbolic about that today. But if you'll, take your candle home, that sort of thing. But we want to take the light out. What Jesus has done is too great of a story to leave in these hallowed walls, in our secretive little hidden under a bushel kind of church meeting. No, it's meant to shine out. So may God bless us and give us creativity as we figure out what that looks like as a church and as households to bring that light out to a world that is desperate for it, honestly. Desperate for hope and meaning in the midst of a really chaotic year, but also facing down death, facing down mortality in some pretty difficult ways. We as the people of God get to share something new. It's not a fake happiness or really just a seasonal joy. Hip, hip, hooray, Merry Christmas, Happy Christmas. But a hard-won victory over hatred. A hard-won victory over sin and separation. And a commission to bring that light into the world. So when we take our candles tonight, that's our assignment as well. We take up our commission to be those who bring a message of reconciliation. Y'all are appointed, duly deputized ministers of reconciliation as we go out these doors. And we follow Jesus in it because we know it's going to be hard. Yeah? Let me pray for us as we head out. So Jesus, we need you more than ever, because even 2,000 years later, a new generation is born with a rift in their own heart, with a selfish desire to isolate and separate and divide. And so every generation, every city needs a message and needs a messenger. The rift is real, but so is your reconciliation. So would you just assign us the role on this Christmas to carry on what you left for us to do as you commission us to be reconcilers. We love you, Jesus, and we're thankful. Amen.